We're trying to find John Catsimatidis and Margo Catsimatidis to talk about his book. The book, by the way, I'm going to promo the book. On Amazon, number one for hot new releases for business and companies. And the name of the book is How Far Do You Want to Go? Lessons from a Common Sense Billionaire, John Catsimatidis. And I think we are trying to get Margo Catsimatidis. All right, well, we'll see if we can find him. We'll keep somebody should email him or something. All right, it's calling in 11:13. Okay, so I want to continue my little thoughts about our conversation with Senator Kevin Cramer and my opening riff, because this business about GOP candidates not coming up with a plan for the economy to deal with Bidenomics, which is an utter failure. You know, this is a serious, serious business. And I want to go back to the midterm elections, because a lot of polls, most polls, expected a kind of Republican landslide in the midterm elections last November. The cavalry is coming. I said it a million times. The cavalry is coming. And we didn't get a cavalry. Now, we did get a platoon. We did take the House, GOP. But it was disappointing. And we didn't pick up any Senate seats. In fact, we lost a Senate seat. So I recall everybody was talking about the high inflation, and everybody was talking about the border problem, millions of people streaming illegally over the border. Crime was a big issue. You know, all these Democratic prosecutors in these blue cities, all the George Soros funded far left, no bail, no jail here in New York. So those were some of the key issues. Inflation, spending, overspending, which was one of the root causes of the inflation, and the border, and crime, and Afghanistan, the mishandling of Afghanistan. But what was lacking was a solution. You know, what John would say, I think John Catsimatidis would say, a common sense solution. I mean, and the other interesting thing, you had, go back and think about Democratic economists who had worked for Barack Obama, namely Larry Summers from Harvard and Jason Furman, who's also teaching at Harvard. And some others. You know, they were among Joe Biden's biggest critics when he took an economy that was already overheating and spent $1.9 trillion way back in March of 2021, jammed it through. So they were critics, and Biden wouldn't listen to them. Biden administration is more like Bernie Sanders, socialist. Big government, crazed about climate, crazed about, you know, their obsessions with oil and gas. Now, I won't say every Republican, but I'd say it was very difficult for the GOP to craft an alternative vision for the economy. In other words, elect Republicans, and here's what we will do. And they didn't talk much in those terms. The criticism was there, but the solution wasn't. The vision wasn't. And they needed an economic growth and prosperity vision. And I know it's hard when you're running. I mean, you have, you know, 435 races in the House, and you had 25 or 30 races in the Senate. It's not easy. A sitting president commands the media, and of course the corporate media, the mainstream media is all left-wing anyway. Not all of them, not Fox and Newsmax and others, but, you know, the big cables, MSNBC, CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, et cetera, et cetera. But it's hard because Biden speaks in one voice and the GOP speaks with many voices. Now, as we enter in the presidential cycle, and, you know, it's February 2023, the election's in November 24. But really, the first debate is in, you know, was just announced in Milwaukee in August. That'll be the first debate. Now you'll have a handful of people running for president on the GOP side. Now, I'm going to leave out Biden. We'll see if anybody's going to challenge Biden. But you're going to have, you know, four, five, six, who knows, seven people. I don't know, maybe more on the Republican side. But it will be easier for them to craft a message. They could say, well, here, Donald Trump is going to run on this. Ron DeSantis is going to run on that. Nikki Haley, Mike Pompeo, Mike Pence. Not 435, you know, plus Senate. Just a handful. And they will have an opportunity to put their views out, and the public will hear them. First, the GOP public, because it'll be in the primaries, and then ultimately you're going to have the national public. And they've got to do it, and I think they got to start now. I think that's the key point. They must start now. And they're not doing it. I mean, yesterday, you get a shockingly high inflation number, and before that, the week before that, you had two other shockingly high inflation numbers. And yet, nobody put out an alternative vision of the leading names. Now, I do recall that Donald Trump put out through his political action committee. I mean, I get that stuff. And he ripped into it on how bad the inflation was. He ripped into it. Okay, he got that. But unfortunately, and again, I love Trump. I worked for him for 3 years. I make no bones about it. I'm not endorsing here. I'm not in a position to endorse. But I'm just saying he didn't give a plan. He ripped it. The others, I don't recall the others saying a word about the lousy inflation numbers that came out. Or the fact that interest rates were going to have to go higher. Or the fact that GDP last year barely grew at all in Joe Biden's first year. Nobody talked about it. And I think that's inexcusable. And I fear that that mistake will be repeated. Or, you know, the other thing is, and this is equally important. These budget numbers have come out. The Congressional Budget Office come out. And, I mean, they're very bad numbers. We were talking to Senator Kevin Cramer about, you know, spending as a share of GDP, over 24%. The 50-year average is slightly less than 20%. What are we doing at 24%? All right, hang on a second. I believe we have found the maestro himself. John Katsimatidis is on. And maybe.
Larry, I'm on the beach.
That's what I figured.
I'm on Fort Lauderdale Beach, and it's beautiful. I go back to the 80s when, what was that famous song, Where the Girls Are?
Are you alone, or is there a Margot there, too?
Margot is here, and we're attending the breakfast we usually have in Southampton. We're having the Fort Lauderdale version of it right now, and the sun is shining. It's a beautiful day in Fort Lauderdale, and we're on Lauderdale by the sea, and a great restaurant right on the ocean, and look, there's something to say about coming on down to Florida.
Well, I was there last weekend, so I understand full well. I want you to know, we looked it up. On the Amazon Hot New Releases for Business, you are number one. Your book is number one. I'm going to say it again. How Far Do You Want to Go? Lessons from a Common Sense Billionaire, John Catsimatidis. You're number one on the Amazon Hot New Releases for Business. So that's pretty cool. I think it must have been because you had a great TV interview on Fox Business on Thursday.
Well, everybody's talking about it, I got a better seat at the breakfast. We have about 50 people here that we usually have in Southampton, and the name of the place is the Anglin's Beach Club, right on the ocean. You can't ask for a better place. And the CFO elected in Florida, Jimmy Patronis, is here as our main speaker today, and Florida doesn't owe any money. They have excess on their budget.
Yes, very good. Is Margo there?
Margo is here, but she's sitting near the front of the restaurant. Oh. I moved towards the back.
All right, so we're going to talk about this. So, John, you made your fortune, your first fortune in supermarkets. You're still, I mean, you write in the book, They don't give you much to the bottom line, but you still feel you have to be attached to the supermarkets.
Hold on, Margo. Margo, say hello.
Hi, Larry.
Hey, Margo. So I was going to lead with you. I'm glad you came on. Now, here's the thing. One of the best parts of the book, and this is pretty good truth-telling by John, is so John hires you, right? And we're in the supermarket phase, right? And you walk into him and tell him how disorganized he is and how it's got to all be changed. Now, I assume that's a true story, right?
Yes, absolutely true.
And I want you to tell us about this.
And it's still true, by the way.
No, but you're organized, disorganized, organized. It's all good.
I have organizers that organize now.
Yes, well, I know. So, Margo, how did you put it to him when you told him he wasn't organized? How did you diplomatically put it to him?
I just tell the truth, and he was very disorganized. He was the first one to create accounts payable and receivable on computers that he programmed. And there were computer paper stacks everywhere. Our office was only about 7 foot wide by 10 foot long.
No, a little bit bigger, a little bit.
But not that much, honey, trust me. Anyway, I ended up, getting binders and things and organized them and dated them and all that. But
and so
it goes on from there.
Did he cooperate when you were doing your reorganization plan?
He was relieved. He could see the floor.
He could see the floor. Okay. And I want to just say that I'm completely biased. Margo and John Catsimatidis are among my dearest friends, and I have no objectivity whatsoever. But, Margo, you've been a part of John's business story the whole time, including and most particularly WABC Radio. Is that fair?
That's fair to say, and I absolutely love it. I love working with the people and all of our talent and everyone. It's a wonderful, wonderful group.
And it's given John new energy. Is that also fair?
That's absolutely fair.
You know, the guy's
he loves it too.
The guy's a pretty good broadcaster, it turns out. He's with some practice.
Yeah, he's getting pretty good there, I must say.
Did you hear, I don't know if you heard this, Margo, but on the Amazon list, the book is the number one hot new releases for business, number one in business.
Well, she hears it now, and by the way, we're number one for business in hardcovers. We're number two for
Audibles,
audio, and number three for Kindle.
Yes, absolutely. So,
three out of five.
Somewhere's in there, you're going to sell a book when they actually start selling.
Thank God.
Okay, John, talk to us about energy. All right, your energy story is, I guess, it's the most profitable part of your empire right now. We had some lousy inflation news yesterday, and we had some lousy inflation news last week. What do you see for the energy story? What do you see for the oil story, John?
Well, oil is down to $75, and we're looking, the next break is 72, 72 and a half. If it breaks to 72, 72 and a half next week, then the next target is $70. On the other side of the coin, Russia and OPEC nations, they want $100 oil because that's what they run their economy on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a struggle. There's a struggle in the world. For whom do the bells toll? The American people that can have $65, $70 barrel oil where inflation goes away in the next 3 months, 4 months, 5 months as things taper off, or the Saudi Arabians and Russia that want to run their economy on $100 oil. And that's going to be the challenge over the next few months.
And what about interest rates, John? There's a lot of talk now that rates are going to have to go much higher.
Well, I know. Even Jamie Dimon went on and said rates have to go much higher. Well, I think Jamie, you know, I admire Jamie. His father was a very dear friend of mine. And but I think he's wrong on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the Fed did during COVID, they said let's slow up the throttle, and let's see what happens after we get over COVID. I think we're in a similar situation, Larry, where I'm saying let's slow up the increases so we don't destroy the entire real estate industry in North America, which is 20% of the economy. And see what happens if we can maintain $70 oil, then the inflation goes away by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Saudi Arabians, if the OPEC, if Russia try to get $100 oil, then guess what? The American people lose because of what happens in Washington, they're making the poor people poorer. And they're making the middle class poorer. And $1 trillion of our economy has moved over from North America all the way to Russia and Saudi Arabia.
Mm.
And Russia is based their economy based on $100 oil.
Yep. So we should be printing 14 or 15 million barrels a day. That's where we should be. Not 12, but 14 or 15 million barrels a day. What's the outlook? Can we get a change? I mean, these Republicans should wake up.
Well, I think President Biden has to make a decision. America first, not last. If we can print 15 million barrels a day, which is doable, and Canada prints another 5.5 million barrels a day, North America will be self-independent and will have the greatest economy again.
You know, we were talking earlier, John. By the way, let me give another plug. The name of the book is How Far Do You Want to Go? Lessons from a Common Sense Billionaire by John Catsimatidis, who was a very, very dear friend and, of course, also is the purveyor of this radio station, WABC, here in New York. And this broadcast, by the way, is all over the country. We've got a million affiliates now, 150 affiliates. So what's up? Stay with this. No, stay with this. I want to stay with this. Just stay with us. John. Let me talk to you about this. When Bill Clinton ran for president way back, he said it was the economy stupid. And one of my concerns right now is that the Biden economy is doing very poorly. And the Republicans have got to show that they have a plan for better economic growth and lower inflation. They have to adopt the Clinton mantra of an economy stupid. They need to show us a common sense approach to a healthy, prosperous economy. That's what's missing from the discussion right now. What you think?
Agreed 110% that it's all about the oil, Larry. It's not about anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If oil prices went down to $65 or $70 where we started. We started at $55, actually. But if they go back to $65, inflation goes away, and our economy goes back to the greatest economy in the world.
So they should push for a permitting bill.
Absolutely. And enough with the restrictions on the EPA and all the restrictions they're trying to put on. Look, it's all about America. China doesn't give a damn about environmental. Mm. They don't give a damn. Mm. And they're going right by us in the economy at warp speed. It's about getting the right thing for the American people. Let's not make the poor Americans. Let's not make the middle-class Americans poorer.
Yeah, China is buying the Russian oil.
Yes, and China is getting a 30% discount, so they're only paying $50.
Yeah, and India is buying the Russian oil. I thought India was a friend of ours. Maybe not, huh?
Well, listen, it's all in the watch the checkbook where it is. India is probably getting a 35% discount, knowing how good of negotiators they are.
So, John, you're down in Florida. You're down in Lauderdale right now. You already have a good governor, Ron DeSantis. You ready to make another run for governor of New York?
Well, let's see what happens. I think the next race up is Senator Gildebrand. And she has, look, she's a nice lady, but she hasn't accomplished much for our country, for our state.
So you're going to take a look at that.
You never know, Larry.
All right. I'm going to let you go. Have a fabulous weekend. Hugs to Margo. And the name of the book is How Far Do You Want to Go? Lessons from a Common Sense Billionaire by the great John Catsimatidis. Thank you, John. Sorry to bother
Thank you, Larry.
All right. Folks, I'm Larry Kudlow here. I'm still in New York where it's very, very cold outside. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with something, somehow, somewhere. Stay with us, please.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.